Good morning,
and welcome to Stavanger.
Some announcements as we begin here this morning. The 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim World booklets are in, and they are on the table in the entry near the offering plates. So these are here for you to use. Today is the beginning of Ramadan, so it's March 10 through April 8. And this helps us join with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Christians around the world praying for God to be at work among the Muslim people as they are going through Ramadan. And we also have some kids' versions available, and you can talk to Joy about those. If you have a child who would enjoy using this, and you can use it with them. We have some copies, or maybe you have a grandchild or something. You can talk to Joy about those, and she'll see that you get them. The Wednesday's Lenten series on Genesis 37 to 50, from Joseph to Jesus. We will meet again at 5:45 for a meal. It's pizza this week and potluck next week. So pizza will be served this Wednesday, and at 6:30 then, the Bible study will begin, and that is going to be led by Reverend Clint Knutson, a professor at our seminary, and many of, if not all of you, know him. So that's going to be this Wednesday. And then an announcement, too, the pancake dinner. It will be on Palm Sunday, March 24th. Coffee is served following the worship today, but no potluck dinner today because of the upcoming pancake dinner. And also, for those of you who did not get in on communion last week, communion will be served in the conference room over here immediately following the service. And Joy, you have an announcement?
Helen and I were talking that it'd be fun to have a choir or a small, you know, a larger group of people singing. So we would like to maybe do that on Easter. So if you're interested in singing in a larger group, like a mini choir, we'd love to have your voice. And we know who you are, so if you don't volunteer, we'll ask you. So. But anyway, gives an idea. Some people who like don't want to be all by themselves, but we could be in a group. And we'll sing a song for at Easter time. So please talk to either Helen or me.
Also, if you will notice the insert on Easter flowers, there's information on that. And Becky Zulsdorf, Kathy Thompson, or Joy will work with you on arranging for your plants and flowers to be used at the Easter Sunday service. Any other announcements that I've maybe missed or need to be made? You have the Ramadan video? Let's do it.
Hello, church. This Sunday, March 10th, ushers in the Islamic lunar month of Ramadan.
nearly a fourth of the world's population will be looking to the skies for the new moon, which will initiate 30 days of fasting for the 2.2 billion Muslims around the world. Muslims believe that by refraining from food and drink and other self-serving pleasures during this 30 days of Ramadan, that one will earn merit and reward from Allah. Church, this matters, and here's why. This matters because over 2 billion people in the world identify as Muslims, making up over a fourth of the world's population. That matters. God loves all peoples, including Muslims, and asks us to love them too and to share with them the truth of a God who loved them first, not because of how they perform, but because God so loved them. This matters because during the month of Ramadan, Muslims are acknowledging their sin, they're fearing God's wrath, they're actively seeking His mercy. They've been deceived into thinking that it is in their own works that they can maybe, just maybe, earn merit with God. They need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, whose finished work on the cross has earned God's favor and unconditional love for them already. This matters because we are called to remember, celebrate, and proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His victory over sin and death, the atonement of all of our sin. As a result of our faith in this, our forgiveness is complete, our sin is wiped clean, our salvation is sure. We hold dear to this faith, and we're called to proclaim this faith. Church, this is a critical time to pray for Muslims. God is moving in the Muslim world. More Muslims have come to faith in Christ in the last two decades than any point in history combined. In recent months, we've rejoiced over Muslims coming to faith and making the bold step of baptism through the ministry of our own missionaries in Chad. It's well documented that many Muslims have come to faith during the month of Ramadan through dreams, through encounters with Christ followers. Church, if we share God's heart for the nations, if we share God's patience for the lost, if we believe there is power in prayer, let's make a concerted effort to pray for Muslims this month. Pray that the church would be bold in witness. Pray for our missionaries who live in Muslim communities, that they would be ready with an answer to the questions about the hope they have. Pray that God would create faith. Pray that God would save. Pray that Muslims would come to know the amazing grace of God. That is a free gift to all who believe. So, church, thank you for praying, for sharing the good news of the gospel with your Muslim neighbors. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel.
In this time of Ramadan, because they are seeking Allah in a very concerted sort of way, it is a time of real spiritual intensity. So this is an opportune time for the Holy Spirit to be at work in the Muslim world. So I hope you will pick up one of these 30 days of prayer for your family, and that we could be praying together for God to be at work in the Muslim world, especially in this month of Ramadan. Our call to worship is found in Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Let us prepare our hearts now for worship. Let us stand together as you are able, as we sing together, How Great Thou Art. seated as we continue singing, Lead Me to Calvary. Let us stand as we are able and confess our sin and our faith. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the good news of the gospel is that Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us continue in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And you can read along on the screen, or it is on page 124 in your pew Bible. Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. As we go into prayer, are there any special requests that you would like to share and pray with as a congregation this morning? We can remember Pastor Sean in prayer this morning as he and the confirmants are out at the iPoint confirmation retreat, and we want to pray that that will be a very beneficial time for these young people in helping to solidify what they are learning in confirmation. For Audrey? A biopsy this week. Okay. All right. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you that we can come to you in this way with our burdens and our joys. We pray for our sister Audrey as she is having a biopsy this week. We pray that once again you will guide the doctors and those who are working with her, that you would use them to minister to her in a very special and healing way. And we pray for your peace, your comfort, and a tangible sense of your presence, especially this week. We pray, too, for Pastor Sean and for the confirmants who are with him on the iPoint Confirmation Retreat, as they hear the teaching of your word through our confessions. May these things that are being learned go deep into their hearts and minds and stay with them and guide them through life. And we pray for safety and well-being for them as well. And Lord, we do pray for the Muslim world as Ramadan begins today. In this time of great spiritual intensity, we We pray that through whatever means necessary, that you would reveal your Son to them, the true Isa, the true Jesus, Savior of the world, that they can rest in the finished work of Christ and not be consumed with producing our own merit, but resting in what you have already done on our behalf. And Lord, as we are reminded today too, that China Lutheran Seminary in Taiwan is putting on a conference tomorrow for pastors and lay leaders. We pray that attendees will be equipped and encouraged in their ministries. And we do pray, Lord, that you would raise up workers for your harvest field in Taiwan, in Japan, and in Chad. That through your people, many can come to know and hear the gospel and receive it and be transformed by it. And Lord, we thank you too for the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let the congregation to rise as you're able for the reading of God's word. Gospel for this morning from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I read in Jesus' name. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is God's word. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our daughter, Akela, was looking forward to her 10th birthday and wanted to have a special party with her friends. And so we arranged that she could have a tea party. I mean, the white gloves, the dresses, the whole bit. In this beautiful house, it was the mission house of World Mission Prayer League, a stately old multi-story home in downtown Minneapolis that had been renovated recently, and it was just a great place to have the little tea party. And so she invited her friends, and the friends had younger siblings who weren't going to be part of the party. They had to go play in the nursery room, and some of the friends had a brother about our Carl's age, and so those two could go and play, and these girls dressed up could have their tea party. And they were just really excited about it. The parents, we served as waiters and waitresses for the little celebrants, and things were going really well. And the girls are off in another room playing some games or exchanging gifts or something. And we were getting the tea table set up, and we noticed something. On the chairs were strewn rubber toy snakes. And then there was this moment of internal conflict. That looked like really fun. But then I thought, dear Kayla, so looking forward to everything just being so for this party. And so we had to think about that, what to do. Snakes. They're not usually the thing you want to invite to a party. They're not usually the thing you want to have in your home. They're not usually the thing that you want crossing your path when you're out for a hike. We lived in Kenya. You've heard me tell snake stories before, some of you. And they're there. They're part of daily life. Of the five most poisonous snakes in Kenya, we had three of them within 50 yards of our home at one time or another. Even less than that, probably 30 yards. One of them was actually in our house. We had the black mamba in the tree by the well. The watchman and I took that one out with a couple of long pieces of plumbing pipe. We had the puff adder right behind the summer kitchen. Took that one out with a machete. And then we had the baby spitting cobra right in our porch and sacrificed a broom handle to dispatch that one. All of these snakes can cause great harm. Some can even kill you. Snakes. The locals where we lived, I didn't hear anyone say this directly, but the attitude was the only good snake is a dead snake. And yes, we know that not all snakes are venomous and they have their part in the ecosystem and all that stuff. But don't try to tell a Samburu in northern Kenya that. If it's a snake, it needs to die. If it's in your general area of habitation. Snakes are not welcome. They don't have a good reputation in the Bible either. And what does God send to discipline as judgment on his grumbling, sinful, disobedient, obstinate people in the wilderness? He sends snakes. And they start biting, as Galen read, and some died from those snake bites. We don't like snakes. Physically, many of them are very dangerous. They send chills up our spine. But snakes, we don't like for another reason. Because of who is identified with a snake. If we go back to Genesis chapter 3, we first meet a snake. And he's not really just a snake, but it's the embodiment of our age-old enemy, the devil. And it says in Genesis 3, now the serpent, the snake, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say? And from there, from those deceiving, crafty words, the woman and the man disobeyed. They stopped trusting in God. They sinned. And the floodgates of sin and destruction and death were let out in the world. We don't like snakes. God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. cursed. This is a cursed critter. But it's not just the physical reptile we're talking about. It's the evil one himself. The representative, the source of sin. Ah, the snakes. And so I find it curious, maybe you did too, what God does when his people cry out because of the curse, because of the bites, because of the death brought on by the snakes. What does God do? God hears and he provides a cure for this curse. Verse 8 in Numbers 21. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. Does anyone else find that odd? For a couple of reasons. One, in Exodus, God has already told the people not to make graven images. But there he also adds the part about not bowing down to worship them as idols. The people were not told to worship this image of a snake on a pole, but simply to look at it and live in obedience to God's command. And so Moses did what he was told. He made the bronze snake, he put it up on the pole, and when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Wow. Now the thing that is representative of the curse has become the cure. When someone who's heard the word of the Lord obeys and looks at the snake, when they look at the snake, they're looking at the symbol of God's judgment on their sin. But in so doing, in recognizing their own sin and trusting in the Lord at his word, they're saved. Later on, that snake on the pole that went with the Israelites all the way to the promised land, we don't hear about it again until 2 Kings during the reign of Hezekiah, as things are winding down in the monarchy of Israel just before the southern kingdom is taken off into captivity during the reign of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And during his time, the people were doing all manner of things that the Lord told them not to do, worshiping idols among them. And they're offering incense to this snake, this bronze snake on the pole. They weren't supposed to do that. So Hezekiah destroyed it. And that was the end of the snake. We don't hear about that snake on the pole again until John chapter 3. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. The snake on the pole was given not just to save the Israelites from their snake bites in the wilderness, but it was given that we might better understand Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us. You see, it says in Galatians chapter 3 that Jesus redeemed us from the curse. By Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became a curse for us so that he might be the cure for us. As despised as snakes are, as much as they symbolize the sin brought into the world and the curse and the threat of death and judgment of a righteous God for sinners, Jesus took that on himself to become the cure for you and me. Amazing grace that saves a wretch like me. Wow. The Israelites had a pole with a snake on it to look at. We have a cross with a Savior attached to it to save us. It's why we as Christians lift high the cross of Christ, because it is at the cross of Christ where the light has been shown, where the light has revealed the darkness of our sin, where the ugliness of our sin has been inseparably joined to the beauty of God's love for sinners like you and me. The cross of Jesus. It's where the two meet. It's where we look and trust and are saved. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, whoever trusts in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that is the news that gives us hope while there's still snakes running around in this world. People still die from snake bites, and people still sin. But there is a word of hope. The word of hope that was first proclaimed back in Genesis 3 that I read earlier, that the offspring of the woman, this particular offspring, would crush the head of the serpent. And that's what Paul picks up in the book of Romans in chapter 16, verse 20. In the conclusion of the epistle of the Romans, Paul gives this word of hope. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Satan got crushed under Jesus' feet at the cross, and now that as believers are united with Christ, Satan gets crushed under our feet as well. It's coming soon. And because it is, that has an impact on how we live now. And Paul says it earlier in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Because we have the cure, because we have the hope, because the battle is raging, but the war has been won, Paul writes, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you. Wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Jesus bore the curse. He embodied it when he took our sin upon himself. He is the only one who's really good. And when we trust in him, he gives his goodness to us in the eyes of the Father. Let us pray. Father, may we not hide in the darkness, but come into the light. Confessing our sins with the assurance that you have paid for them in full at the cross. So, Lord, may this good news change us from the inside out. And may this light of yours shine through us to a world that is lost in darkness. May we all look to you and continue to do so and be saved. We ask it, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
What a precious gift that Christ was, the sacrifice for our sin, and we need only look to him. Let's stand together now and sing our closing chorus, "Go Now in Peace." Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Again, we will be